So just because I'm going to forget, that's why I'm telling you.
Right. Right.
So you could tell somebody else to remind us of when we're supposed to go prep the table.
We will totally figure this out.
That's never going to happen.
Yeah, it will.
No. Yeah, it will. We have a Canadian in the trio.
Yeah.
There you go.
I'm going to be so painfully polite while I'm down there.
Welcome to episode 77 of One More Podcast, part of the Retroids.com podcast network. My name is Eric Bailey. I am totally not a compulsive liar. What are you talking about? And I am the editor-in-chief of OneMoreCastle.com.
My name is Eric Hunter. I am the audio engineer, and I am already a contender for the 2014 Game of the Year.
My name is Jason Lamb, resident Canadian, and I've been attacked by a deer.
Oh.
Like a doe?
A deer?
A deer?
A female deer?
I also can't remember if I've said that before, because we're 77 episodes in.
You haven't said that before. That's a new one.
I was attacked by a deer once.
Yeah. Well, remember when we didn't used to have intros?
Oh, yeah.
Right? So much has
changed.
It's
just like, hi, I'm Bailey. Hi, I'm Hunter. Hi, I'm Jason. This is One More Castle.
I really hope no one starts listening at the beginning.
No, they should.
No.
To gain an appreciation, I don't know.
Are our old episodes
really that bad? I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm scared to go find out. Like, I'm terrified.
I think it better begs the question, are new episodes really that good?
Oh, wow.
That's a good point.
I think sometimes we're pretty good.
I think on the whole, we definitely have had our down episodes, and I even think after the show we were like, man, that wasn't that good. Like,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah. We definitely run the spectrum from so random that hopefully you're in the right mood to find it funny to, actually, we had some really good discussion.
Yeah, you have to go back and, I think if I went back and edited every episode and took the really, really good content, we'd probably have about an hour or two.
Cool. Nice. I'm okay with that. Yeah.
If you take on average that this is episode 77, so we have 7,600 hours of episodes.
You mean
we're going to get about an hour.
Yeah, you mean 76 hours? 7,600 hours. That's
76 hours, yeah.
I mean, our episodes aren't 100 hours long.
We have 74 hours of crap.
That would be intense. 100 hours.
Just about.
So.
Just about. We find something in there.
Can we quickly recap? Like, what has changed on the podcast since we started? We actually do intros, just for kicks, just little ones.
Yep.
We do it video now.
Yeah.
We live stream the video, because we actually, for a while, we recorded it on video, but we weren't always broadcasting. Right?
Correct.
Is that correct? Yeah.
With Skype, yeah.
Yeah. The Retro Showdown introductions used to be 2 minutes long. It'd be 6 minutes just to get the names of the games out there. We chop that in half. So, yeah, I think.
We get listener email discussion questions now.
Yep. Yeah. We have a whole email address just for that. That's a good one. That's an important one.
So I think for a while we were either not doing. We came up with our own, I think it was.
Oh, yeah, we did. I totally did that for a while. And we would contribute. Yeah. Wow, we did.
Yeah, we had our own kind of questions that we brought up. Well, the only one I can remember is actually episode 1, which was the best retro vehicle. If you could own a retro vehicle, what would it be?
Yeah.
And we I went, and then you went, and then Jason went, and we're like, all right, Jason wins. The warship from Chrono Trigger or something like that?
And that's pretty much never happened again.
Yeah, I've haven't one since.
So, yeah. I mean, we haven't really. You haven't put a lot of effort in, Jason, let's be honest.
I bring classics. I bring the games people are afraid to bring.
That's one way to put it.
Yeah, I could believe that.
Yeah.
I mean, I've brought some. I know I've you know, fallen on the sword a couple of times.
Yeah.
And come out on top, which
Clue,
is weird.
Clue Land.
Yeah. Well, no, you brought Clue.
Oh, yeah, I'm just bringing up my own example.
Yeah. But no, I'm thinking Dr. Bones. Remember when I brought Dr. Bones like forever ago? Yeah. Like, it's an okay game. But it was like 14 to 8 to 2 or something like that. And I'm like, man, I didn't know you guys liked the game that much. I mean, it's all right, but...
That's actually one of the great things about the podcast, though, is real human beings vote. Like, it's interesting to see what the fan base of the One More Castle podcast / website, what their taste is like. I mean, they're having weeks where it's like, really, that game won? And you don't know if it's a crowd thing or like you have that one passionate fan who insists on getting all of his Twitter fans to vote. In either case, though, it's always fun to see.
Oh, as a side note, I went back and listened to the Midwest Gaming Classic episode for Band of Gamers.
Yeah.
Which I recommend that you listen to, abandonedgamers.com. Very cool podcast. They talk about half of the podcast is about games. The other half is about music. So it's kind of like a two tastes in one kind of a thing. So I was listening to it because I hadn't heard it in a while. And I was just searching through some of the old episodes and started listening to it. And like halfway through it, Bailey, you and I just start having like a side conversation while somebody else is talking. Like somebody was talking about like Mickey Mouse games or Daffy Duck games or something like that. And
some Disney thing.
Yeah, and you were like, oh no, that game, it's not on the NES. And I said something like, oh, thanks, Mr. Professor. Yeah. You know, like
nobody asked you, nobody cares.
Yeah, like no, it's definitely not on the NES. And then we just start having a conversation about something while other people are talking. I thought that was kind of funny.
The awkward things I say on the spot when I'm trying to be funny, it's not pretty.
No. No. But luckily, I was there to call you on it.
Yeah, luckily.
We're good.
Yeah, we're great at crashing podcasts.
Yeah.
We should do that a few times a year.
Yeah.
Can we show up on your podcast and just side note the whole thing?
Yeah. Just nothing but asides.
Yeah, nothing but. Yeah, speaking of asides.
Yeah?
Yep.
Yep. This
Shakespeare popularized the idea of the aside.
He also invented the word bump.
And bedroom.
Really? Bedroom? No!
Yeah, it was once known as the chamber room.
Right, the bed chamber room.
Yeah, the bed chamber.
Really?
Now it's called the bedroom.
Wow.
Yeah. There's an entire book dedicated to words that he coined.
Well, there were thousands of them. I mean, the guy wasn't a great writer. He was just imaginative and made stuff up. I'm just kidding. He was pretty good.
Right.
We really are the
or guys.
Of the sides. Holy crap. Right. Bacon theory. Here we come.
That whole theory, yeah. You were saying about asides. Rudely interrupted.
We just had like one inside of one just there. I'll try and get us back on track. We can salvage this podcast yet. Hey, guys. Have you played any old video games lately?
Yes.
Oh, good.
Oh, good. I played Battletoads and Battlemania.
Whoa.
Nice.
That's the
Battletoads you can actually play and enjoy.
Oh.
Is it bad I didn't enjoy it?
Oh.
For Jason, no. That's not bad. Nice. It's pretty normal.
It wasn't. It's not bad. It did little for me in terms of separating itself from every other kind of side scrolling beat 'em up.
You had to have been there. Right. I think that's what like the Battletoads and Battlemania was like a hey, we're really sorry. this is our apology to you.
Hunter,
we hope you enjoy.
Have you played Battletoads and Double Dragon?
Yeah,
because that's
not that good.
Yes, it's. I think it's really good.
It's upsetting because it runs on the Battletoads engine. I don't like playing as Billy and Jimmy Lee on the Battletoads engine.
Okay, that's fair.
Is it? Is that fair? Can I have an opinion?
It is good. Fair, and you can have an opinion. Still could be wrong, but
right.
Whatever.
Well.
I see your point. I'll put it that way.
No, I mean, Battletoads Double Dragon was a great game. Well, the Super NES version was good. The NES was kind of... It just looked bad.
This one looks pretty good.
No, there was too much going on. It was too big for its britches.
I think it's technical impressive that they were able to achieve that feat.
Yeah, I don't think so. If I'm still dealing with slowdown with the Super NES out, I mean, come on.
Let's
put you to the side.
Slowdown's a feature,
Slowdown is a feature? Is that what you just said?
Yeah, you just...
Wow, that's like loading screens are a feature on the PlayStation.
No, loading screens, there's no gameplay happening. But you can use slowdown to your advantage, especially
slowdown
in a game.
Slowdown lets you enjoy the gameplay
when
for longer.
So much is happening, Hunter, as you yourself just said. Slowdown helps you deal with all the stuff. What have you been playing? Hunter, what have you been playing, Hunter? What have you been... Thank you, Jason. Thank you. Hunter, what have you been playing?
I'm sorry. Well, first, I just want to apologize for my attitude. It's been unruly.
It only took 77 episodes.
We're only 13 minutes in. So,
Hunter, would you say you're a dude with an attitude?
No.
Okay.
No.
Fine.
I got baited into playing D for the PlayStation.
I've heard of this game.
So have I. That was about it. I had heard of it. I was at a local
game.
It is a horror, kind of like a first-person horror mystery kind of game.
Huh.
I saw it at a local game shop. It's one of the big boxes, the old big box PlayStation games. And I'm a sucker for those.
Yes.
So, like, I saw that, and then the game was named called D. And I'm like, well, that's interesting. And it was $10, and I'm like, well, that's cheap, I guess. So I took it up, and even the lady at the counter, when I bought it, she's like, oh, have you played this? And I'm like, no. She's like, you're really going to like it. And I'm like, see, now I'm not going to like it. Because I didn't ask you for your opinion. I just want you to take my money and let me leave. So it's an interesting idea. It's three discs that span over the entire game. The story is your father is this very well-known doctor, and he has decided to go on a mass murdering spree.
Of course.
And at the hospital, and he, they call you in, your daughter, you're the daughter, to stop him or to talk to him. The second you get into the hospital, you're overtaken by a liquid metal sentient being.
Oh, yeah. Like, so the Terminator.
Right.
Sorta. Yeah.
No. There's no sort of. I want it to be the Terminator. I will stop listening unless you agree it's the Terminator.
It is the Terminator.
All right, I'm in. Go on.
But it's more of a demon Terminator?
Yeah, the Terminator.
Okay.
All right. I didn't have a Terminator.
Well, suddenly you're in this really old house, and like you have no idea what's going on. So like it's all like first person, and when there's some cinematic things going on, it kind of zooms out and you see her. It's PlayStation 1, so it's nothing like too crazy, but it doesn't look that bad for the, like, I enjoyed it. Like, I'm not kind of taken back by the graphics, even though they probably have aged terribly, but I'm giving it the benefit of the doubt.
Yes. I have to say, this sounds like the kind of game Joshua Caleb would know all about.
Yeah.
No, it's not weird. And it's not Japanese.
Really?
No.
Okay.
No,
okay.
It's not. So, but the game's kind of it's creepy as all get out.
That's cool.
Like, so you're walking around, you don't know what's going on. So, like, you walk into this one area. It's like a, you know, it's all brick, and there's like a, what do you call them? Like the big barrel of like beer, kind of like a giant. And like you're looking at it, and you're like, okay, there's nothing here. And then you kind of turn, you see a doorway, and on the wall there's a bunch of spikes, and you're like, I'm just gonna walk in through the doorway. So you start walking, and then all of a sudden the giant wall of spikes comes slamming up against you.
Oh.
And it, like, stops, like, an inch away from your face. 10 centimeters. Jason, just saying it. 10 centimeters away from your face.
It's pretty close.
What is it?
What, 10 centimeters?
Oh, okay. Yeah, it's like super close. And then it kind of falls back, and it's like, I think the thing I like about it the most is, like, so Resident Evil, when... because you had spoken about it, I think it was last episode, about how you opened the door and the dog was there.
Yep.
Well, normally, you close the door, the dog doesn't get in, except for the new GameCube version. They changed that. But, like, if you go to open the door again, it just says, you know, you've got other things to do, you might as well stay in, whatever. Yeah. Slaps you with text. But with this game, there is no text. It's all, everything's voice acted. So... like, when you try to go back through the tunnel where the wall of spikes is, like, it plays a very interesting piece of music that makes you feel like it's a bad idea. That is the creepiest thing I've ever seen.
I thought it would be appropriate for this moment we're having.
That's creepy. But it plays, like, a very interesting piece of music that kind of, you kind of get the tone, like, this is a bad idea. and then it just zooms up on the spikes and does like a pan and stuff. It's very overambitious because it only took me maybe 15 minutes to get through the first disc. And apparently the game is super short.
What?
Yeah. Like, you can beat the game in under an hour.
Oh.
And it's three discs.
Bizarre.
Okay.
It's full of voice acting, and it's, like, everything is completely rendered in 3D. There's no, like, cutscenes. Like, if there's a cutscene, it molds from the view that you were already looking at. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't cut to, like, a wide shot or anything like that. So it's super ambitious. Like, it was made by a company called Warped. Warp? W-A-R-P?
Okay. Warp.
I don't think they're around anymore.
How could you be when you spend all that production money printing a game onto three different discs you have to ship and sell and manufacture?
Well, that's,
for a game that lasts less than an hour.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. It's like you've got this ginormous game, and it's like when you buy it as a kid, and you're like, holy cow, this is three discs?
Yeah.
Look how amazing this looks. Oh, it's scary as all get out.
It's going to last me all summer.
And I'm done playing it in an hour.
One afternoon, done.
I don't know. I'm really enjoying it, though. There's no save spots. There's no save spots. Huh. That's how short this game is.
But you are enjoying it.
Yeah, I was.
So
the lady was right.
Yeah, the lady was right.
Yelled at her for nothing.
No, I didn't yell at her. Here's how it went down. She said, "Have you played this before?" And I said, "No."
No.
She said, "You're really gonna like it." I was just like, "Okay." Like that's I didn't, you know, just like okay, like that means
whatever.
Okay, crazy lady. So yeah,
you're really gonna like it.
Oh my God! Stop it.
What the hell?
What is that, Martha Stewart?
No, it's not.
Well, all right, then I'll leave you be. Yeah. What about you, Bailey? Do you play old games?
Every once in a while.
I saw that there was some activity on a particular
Nintendo
Legend.com website.
I have actually been finding time to play some NES games, which is also doubly cool because, yes, it means I've been able to update my blog, NintendoLegend.com, where I review said NES games. So this past week, I played and reviewed Rally Bike and Rampart. Both of them arcade ports, very different games. Rampart is a turn-based, yet real-time, also strategy, like fort defense kind of game, whereas Rally Bike is an overhead, vertically scrolling racer, like a Spy Hunter kind of genre going on. Of the two, I like Rampart more. I think it's more fun, more rewarding. Whereas Rally Bike just kind of seems to be punishing and difficult, and you have to memorize the tracks to really get good at it. By the time you've invested that amount of time in it, you realize you could have been playing Rampart instead. So if
or you'd be done with D.
Or you'd be done with D a few times over, yeah. But I was pleasantly surprised with Rampart in how much you can really get into it in terms of how difficult it is, but fun and little example. When you go through different phases, there's parts where you're attacking the ships that are attacking your fortresses, and so some of your walls get destroyed. And so you rebuild them, but the manner you rebuild them is it randomly generates wall pieces for you to place on your territory. But the wall pieces...
It's like Tetris.
Yeah, a lot of them are the same shapes as Tetris pieces. So I'm thinking, like, wow, like, someone who's really good at Tetris would actually have a slight edge in Rampart in terms of that whole part of your brain that puts together geometrical shapes in the most efficient ways that my brain is missing. Those people would have an upper hand. So there's some depth to it and what parts of your brain you use. And well, it's quirky. There's not a lot of games like Rampart, honestly. And I didn't even realize it was an arcade game until I saw it at Galloping Ghost for my birthday. I was like, what? Rampart was an arcade game first? It's not the nonstop action fest you associate with an arcade kind of style game.
It's also available on the Midway Treasures collection.
The arcade versions. Commodore 64 and the Super Nintendo and Atari ST and the PS3. It was made on a lot of systems.
Would you think that would be like the first tower defense game? Because like tower defense is huge now.
Yeah. I think it depends on how loosely you define tower defense. I think if you have two players and they each have a goal they're trying to protect from a manner that the other player can attack, you could look at some Atari 2600 titles and be like, that's kind of tower defense. But with the graphics of Rampart, where that actually literally are like towers and walls, and it's called Rampart after all, maybe it is. I'd like to hear what any listeners or live stream commenters think. If Rampart is not the first tower defense game, what was?
Because if it's not, it could... tower defense games could be considered, I guess, a new genre.
Kinda.
Of games.
Yeah.
Or at least I haven't heard of it until the recent time, maybe about 5 years ago or more.
Yeah, definitely became in vogue at that time, for sure.
I don't think Madonna had anything to do with it. But.
Your companion cube cannot accompany you through the rest of the test. If it could talk, and the Enrichment Center takes this opportunity to remind you that it cannot, it would tell you to go on without it because it would rather die in a fire than become a burden to you.
Well, speaking of Madonna, for only like the third time ever in our podcast history, we ran out of listener email discussion questions. So,
yeah.
Yeah, do I really need to say more about that? I mean, I have a question. I'll ask it. But before I do, I want to urge our listeners, please send us discussion questions, because that makes up like a fourth of our show. So unless you really want per episode, it's fine. I'll understand. But
a fourth?
Probably not that much. Probably more like a sixth. The point is, the email address is podcast@onemorecastle.com. No need to put a special subject line. We read all the emails we get. We'll know if it's a discussion question, and we'll use it on the air, unless it's really stupid. But so far, our fans have been pretty good about submitting them. I should just make it simple. Just send an email, podcast@onemorecastle.com, with your listener email discussion question, and we will discuss it. This week, I am just wondering, guys, there's been a lot of discussion over the years concerning which video game is the all-time hardest. But my question is, which video game is the easiest to beat?
Where's Waldo?
Really? There's a time limit in that, and the graphics are terrible. Which is strangely
still an easy
conducive
game
to a visually...
Minesweeper.
Really?
I can find those mines really easily.
On the easier difficulty, I guess it really is.
I can find them so quickly. I can just click on
them.
It
depends
bam,
on
all the mines.
It depends on what you consider the easiest. Like, you know, like Guerrilla War is easy because there's unlimited continues.
That's a good point.
You know, or
maybe I thought way too hard about this, because I thought of games where you can't even die. Like Mario is missing. It's so children centric that you can't, even in the very last part of the game where you fight the thing that's not quite Koopa, not quite Bowser, you just have to jump on him. He can't hurt you. You just have to jump on him a few times. I mean, as long as you're able to read and operate a controller, it takes time. So, you know, I was
maybe Speak and Teach is typing.
Yeah, can you lose that game? Is there a way you can get scolded?
I don't know.
Like, you are such a slow
can
typer.
Wouldn't that be awful?
Yeah.
A message just flashes up, just walk away from the computer.
Slowly.
Tell your parents to take you to a specialist. And have
because
your
I'm shutting the computer down in 10 seconds.
We're afraid you may hurt yourself. Please back away.
But then, like Color a Dinosaur, you can't die, but there's no victory condition either.
Yeah.
Right.
Like games you can actually play beginning to end. But yeah, Minesweeper is not a bad choice.
No, Minesweeper's not bad. I mean, Where's Waldo is the only one I can really think of. I mean,
yeah,
the time limits.
Am I the only one who has trouble with Where's Waldo? I feel like it's not that easy.
Apparently.
How about board game video games?
Some of those are really hard. Have you played Battleship on NES?
Or no. Pictionary?
There's like special weapons you use, and it's complex, and you can only play the computer. And Although, if you set Monopoly to really easy,
yeah, I was that's thinking easy. Monopoly. That's got to be easy to win. On it's like pretty easy. It's super easy.
You just got
to
tap A.
Well,
a bunch.
Not necessarily, because I mean, there's the amount of luck just drops. That's how the difficulty gets harder.
Ooh, you know,
okay. They start to manipulate the dice.
So now we're getting to the elements of difficulty. There's infinite continues. There's is there a win condition or a lose condition? There's how much luck is involved.
Honestly, I mean, I can name more games that are uber easy to beat, like current generation or indie games that I can think, like, you know, like I could go on for days of the whole, is it a game? Is it not a game?
Right. Right. You know? Yeah. Yeah. Ooh, yeah. That's a good point.
But what about like beat 'em ups? Like
what's
beat-em-ups?
The easiest beat 'em up?
Mighty that's Final Fight's pretty easy. I got an idea. Here. How about Duck Hunt? Duck Hunt is easy. No, listen,
Okay.
No, listen. Because here's another condition of what we what would be considered an easy game. Duck Hunt's difficulty doesn't ramp up to what, like level 10?
Yeah.
Maybe 15? Yeah. You're going to stop playing before then because the game is so dull. So does that mean that you won?
But it's arcade style. You just go for a high score. There's no ending. But it is easy to shoot the first few ducks. It's,
Probably, what about edutainment games? Like,
no, dude, Oregon's Trail is super hard.
No, I'm not talking about Oregon's Trail. I'm talking like, let's say
Number
like
Munchers with like fractions and stuff. Ugh. You know,
like Magic School Bus games and stuff where you're literally just clicking on things to learn about them.
Yeah.
What was the frogging, the jumping frog with math?
Frogger?
Was another one that was with math.
Oh, math frog. Oh, we had a feature on it. I think we made it.
I can't remember
video,
the numbers frog or.
Was that
one's really hard. I'm sticking with Where's Waldo.
Okay, fine.
Yeah, I'll go for it. That's a good one.
I mean, do you want me to speed run it for you, Bailey? So
oh my
you
god,
want
I would love that. I would love that. Could you please? Because I need all the help I can get winning my Where's Waldo. I guess
the hardest part's the slot machine at the end.
I didn't even know there was a slot machine at the end. That tells you how good I am.
You're kidding me.
I know. I'm sorry.
You're absolutely kidding me. Wow.
They made it. You know what? I think I'm giving it to Alf's U.S. Geography.
What is it?
You know,
Cross Country Canada.
Yeah, boom. No, Cross Country Canada was hard.
Really?
I'm aware of Alf.
Yeah, they made a game called Alf's U.S. Geography.
Huh.
Is it really a game, though?
It's on... I don't know. It has to be. It's in a box. It says for IBM PC, ages 8
and
up.
It's in a box, folks.
I always liked Alf. I thought he was great.
Didn't he eat cats?
He loved cats. You know what his real name was?
Alfred?
No, it's Gordon. The only time that he says his real name is the first episode.
Oh.
He's trying to call home. And he says, hey, Brian, it's Gordon. I need you to come and get me.
That's funny.
Yeah.
God, stop it.
Yeah, stop
it
with that lady.
God, put it away, man.
I didn't think every time I heard that.
Oh, God.
How do I turn off your video camera?
Have you guys seen the one clip from...
Put it away!
The one clip from what?
Never mind. The nanny where Fran Drescher uses her real voice. It's funny. She thinks the wasabi is just mustard, so she slathers it, and it clears her sinuses, and she uses her real voice. It's a surreal moment. Just want to confirm, Frog Fractions. There is a
Frog
deported
fractions.
Video on One More Castle and on the One More Castle YouTube channel, so...
Probably check it out then.
And I think I just said One More Castle.
One more castle. Where's Waldo?
Yeah, I'm going for reals. Where's Waldo?
Such an easy game.
I'm just a terrible player then. I get it.
Duck Hunt.
I need a music break. back. That was Houston by Big Giant Circles. A great chiptune track. In fact, so great that this one's not free. You have to pay $1 to hear that. But actually, I recommend it. I think the group is worth supporting. Check out their other stuff, which you might like even more. We'll get a link to this particular track up on the episode page. So, cool stuff. Speaking of cool stuff, it's time for the Retro Showdown. The coolest stuff thing of all.
Retro Showdown!
This is the part of the show where each of us has secretly chosen a retro game. We'll have 1 minute to introduce our choice, and then we'll spend pretty much the rest of the episode arguing about who picked the best game. But the best part is that you, the listener, get to vote for your favorite of the three on a poll on the podcast episode page. So hopefully, one of our arguments will sway you. 2 episodes ago, the theme was games on portable systems, and the winner was... Jason with Sonic Jam.
You're kidding.
Game Duck. I am not kidding.
Wait. Remember when you said, Hunter, that did you choose this because people are just going to vote because it has Sonic in it?
Because they just see Sonic in the title.
The answer is yes.
The answer is yes.
Wow. The GameCom.
Well, that's bad for us because that means that nobody's even listening to the show. They're just looking at the showdown and picking randomly.
That's true. That's a really bad sign. You're right, Hunter. Well, I mean, my faith in humanity was already like near flaws. Zero. But
damn. Well, wow. Guess it's time to call it quits.
Dear listeners, grow up. Be smarter. Just saying.
Listen to the show.
Just
first.
Listen to us. Yeah. No.
They picked the right game. Sonic Jam is better than California Games or Axe Battler.
No, this is it's definitely not better than Axe. This is one of the biggest voting travesties we've had, in my opinion. Wow. Something
I'm
on the game.
I'm glad I pulled it off.
Gosh. Well, it beat Axe Battler and California Games.
Wait till Journey
wins
next week.
Neither of them got even half the votes. Oh, jeez. I hope not. Tonight's theme is wish list games. Games that you don't have but you wish you did, or just games you dream about, or just you don't own it, so maybe we're picking games we haven't even played, or maybe we've played it once, but the point is games that are on our wish list. So fun category. I think I'm gonna throw a curveball this week with my pick. Yeah. But we'll see.
All right,
when you bring in Sonic Jams for the GameCon.
How would you know? Now, traditionally, I do go first, though, so Jason, if you're ready as our official timekeeper, I guess I'm ready.
All right. You may begin.
So, wish list games. I mean, what a cool category. I thought of some really rare, like, collector games that I'd really like to have, but honestly, I've never been as much of a collector as I have been a player. I care about the quality of the game so much more. So, this is a game I've never owned, but my friend had it. My friend had it on PlayStation, but I'd love to have the Nintendo 64 cartridge of this Capcom all-time classic. Came out in 1999, Resident Evil 2. It's come out on the show before. I am a fan of the Resident Evil series, and this is easily one of the best games in the whole franchise. If you thought the original was good, this one does everything better. It's excellent storytelling, gameplay, scary but good, the pacing's great. Resident Evil 2 on Nintendo 64. Excellent game. Wish I had it.
All right. Are you ready, Hunter?
Yes.
All right, you may super ready. You may begin.
Super excited about my pick for this week's Retro Showdown. It's a game that's been on my wish list for quite some time. A PC game? Yes.
What?
A first-person shooter, yes.
What?
Released in 1997 by Interplay, it's Redneck Rampage. Created using the infamous build engine, you play as Leonard fighting through the town of Hicksville, Arkansas, to rescue his prize pig, Bessie, while battling the onslaught of an alien invasion. With all the first-person shooters, it's all about the weapons. You've got your typical pistol and shotgun, more elaborate weapons such as the crossfire bow that fires dynamite and a rip saw that fires saw blades at your enemies. Every item at your disposal will take down the episode's first boss, Assface, but you have to defeat the guarding turd monkeys before first gaining entrance. It's Redneck Rampage on the PC.
Huh. I totally did this theme wrong.
What? Huh? What do you mean?
I did correct, but I went for like super rare games. So I had to do some research.
Nothing wrong with that.
I could have just brought Duck Hunt. I don't own that.
Really?
True.
No, I don't own it. The only thing I have is Adventure of Lolo, which I vow to destroy.
You will not destroy it.
More sense to pick a super rare game. I think that's more in the spirit of the theme.
All right. I guess I'll go. All right. My game this week is the 1983 limited release Pepsi Invaders. Published by Coca-Cola. This game was developed for their 1983 sales convention, and they actually got Atari to release this official ROM hack. It essentially replaces all the aliens and Space Invaders with the words Pepsi. And while you have unlimited lives now, there is a time limit. Only 125 were created and given out to executives at the convention, and they now go for roughly $2,000 each. That is Pepsi Invaders for the Atari 2600.
Jason, what is with you in soft drink games?
I don't know. They appeal to me because they're so weird.
They are pretty weird. This is at least the third one you've brought. You realize that, don't you?
Yeah, and I'm fine with that.
Okay, as long as you're aware.
Of all the games that there should be, soft drinks seem to be like the least likely thing you should probably make an adaptation of.
Well, not to jump on Jason like right away with a few things. I have a few things.
All right, go ahead.
First of all, Jason, you were doing so good at picking actual games that weren't just like a reskin or a mod or a hack of a prior game. But here you are, back to your old ways, picking. It's not really. It's just a ROM hack of Space Invaders. I mean, it's.
Only 125 were made. And it's official ROM hack. It's not some kid in his basement. They paid programmers at Atari to do this.
The ROM hackers of today sometimes release their games and sell them, which is kind of this ethical twist. But and also, here's what I don't understand. It was made by Coca-Cola, correct?
It was published by Coca-Cola. It was actually made officially by Atari.
Okay, but it's called Pepsi Invaders.
Yes, also known as Coke Wins.
That's also what I'm struggling with.
But
so
it's,
you
the
essentially
it's like
have
Coca-Cola,
to destroy the Pepsi.
But Coca-Cola made a video game with Pepsi in the title. Like, do they not?
It's because the object of the game is to destroy the
Pepsi
letters.
I understand that. But imagine if... I don't know if you guys are sports fans, but imagine that I play for the New York Yankees.
All right.
And I hate the Boston Red Sox. I mean, I hate the Red Sox. Hate them! But I star in a movie called I Love the Red Sox. Okay. But the movie is actually about how much I hate them. The title is an exercise in sarcasm.
Yeah.
But I'm sure you can imagine every beat writer, every casual fan, every person who sees that on the shelf is going to have kind of a humorous little you're an idiot moment there, right?
I know, but this wasn't released on shelves. Again, it was given out to
but
125.
But I'm telling you why. Like it could have, if had they called it like Pepsi versus the or Coca-Cola versus the aliens, it could have been a widespread
It's also
release.
Known
it
as Coke Wins.
Oh, you weren't just like making that up?
It's also known as Coke Wins.
The subtitle is Coke Wins.
That's a really dumb title.
Oh, it's a completely dumb title, but they only made 125, and I'm pretty sure they made a million copies of Resident Evil 2.
It's on my wish list.
Yeah, but you didn't bring
do
the best Resident Evil 2? You should have brought the Gamecom Resident Evil 2.
No, he should have brought the Dreamcast port. That's what he should have brought. Hey, man, you can't beat running a game at 60 frames per second. That's all I got to say.
Why would you want to?
What was that?
Nothing.
What?
Someone else talk for a while.
All right.
I'm going to look at my poster of 8 and 16-bit artwork.
All right. Resident Evil 2, tank controls. So I hate it.
They're not so bad.
Redneck Rampage.
Amazing.
You know, I always did want Redneck Rampage. I never owned it. I did want it. I saw it in stores all the time.
Yeah. I had owned it when I was younger, and I was actually owned it. It was actually one of those PC games that I actually bought off the shelf and had a box and everything.
Nice.
Which is super rare nowadays. Mm-hmm. But no, it's Redneck Rampage had some interesting things that they developed for the build engine. In terms of, so there's alcohol, there's whiskey and beer that you can drink that will help replenish your health, but it gets you drunk. So you have a drunk meter.
Oh, okay.
So the more that you drink, the more that you drink, the harder it is to actually control the character because he's drunk. If your drunk meter goes all the way to 100%, you actually fall down and vomit on yourself.
Oh, that's...
And you can't do anything for a few moments because you're wasted. You have to wait till you...
So, a hunter, I have what I feel is the most important question you're going to be asked about Redneck Rampage tonight.
Okay.
Would your grandmother approve of you playing Redneck Rampage?
Probably.
Would your grandmother approve?
Probably.
Okay. Just wanted to make sure.
So... My grandmother's pretty cool.
Cool.
So
I didn't realize Redneck Rampage was one of the last games on the build engine.
There you go.
Yeah. Quake 2 came out the same year. So
it also has a gut meter. Ooh. So when you eat too many moon pies or pork rinds, it fills up your gut meter, slows you down a little bit. Nice. And if you max it out, you will have flatulence, which is giving you the inability to sneak up on your enemies because you'll be farting constantly. So,
Hunter, I want to share a criticism. No, I shouldn't have said criticism. Sorry. I'll just say comment. Shared by Sam Manaber, who has become my favorite live stream commenter. He has this to say to you, Hunter. Hunter, it's 9 a.m. in the morning here where I live. When I watch your live stream, I always find myself wishing it were evening and thus a more appropriate time to be as baked as you.
Where the hell is it 9 in the morning? Is he in Australia?
I don't do drugs.
That'd be awesome.
Do you, Hunter?
So.
Oh, no. It's 127.
I do not do drugs.
Don't? You should.
No. There's also a cuss pack.
Cuss pack. Hey-o.
So you can actually download a cuss pack.
That's awesome.
Which mixes over the original voice actor's comments when you shoot and kill them with obscenities. So, rather than saying, oh, my leg, he'll say something like, you know, I'm going to f*** you. That's one of them. My favorite is eat lead monkey. That's a good one.
So there are actual, like, turd monkeys in this game, you said?
Yes. So, huh. The first boss at the end of episode 1 is named Assface. I just realized that me cursing is just giving me more work when I edit this down. So, I'm going to try to stop. That as much as possible. Yeah. So his name is Assface. He is made of feces. And you have to battle an army of turd monkeys before you are allowed to fight Assface.
Oh, wait. Oh, wait, I think I get it. The turd monkeys are actually made out of poo.
No, they were monkeys that are
dipped. They're not, that's somehow disappointing.
They are monkeys that are gently dipped in poo.
Wait. So, why... you broke the streak of us not talking about poo again.
Yeah, I can't help it. It's in the game.
Fair enough. You know what?
You didn't have to pick the game!
This game's been on my wish list for a long time.
Fair enough. I'm going to go out on a limb here. Why? And I'm going to say that Redneck Rampage is way better than Arpex. I'm going to give
agree.
This week to you.
No!
I think Resident Evil 2 sucks.
You are
I agree.
Wrong!
No, Resident Evil 2 is a disappointment.
You're... Whoa. Wow.
All right, Bailey. Okay.
Cool. Sell me on Resident Evil 2.
So this is how many ports has Resident Evil 2 received?
At least 5.
Is it going? Are you kidding me? It's been that many? Yeah, the PlayStation, GameCom, Microsoft Windows, N64, Dreamcast, GameCube, PlayStation Network.
Damn.
Okay, so why would I pick up the N64 version and not wait a year and pick up the better Dreamcast version?
Because you don't own a Dreamcast. If we're talking about theoretical, you do, actually. I know you do, but theoretically, well, if you didn't have a Dreamcast, you would get it on the phone.
I could wait a year, though, and get it.
Look, I'm not saying 60... Okay, can you guys just hear me a second? I'm not saying the 64 version is definitively the best one. Hold on.
Let me preface it this way, then.
On my wish list.
Let me preface it this way, then, because I am currently without any version of Resident Evil 3. Completely out. And I'm on the prowl to pick one up.
Righto.
So I have 3 versions that I am interested in, which are the PlayStation version, the N64 version, and the Dreamcast version. What is your pitch as to picking up the N64 version?
I just go straight up GameCube for Resident Evil 3.
2. I thought you brought 2.
I did, but you said 3 just a moment ago. So you was really confused. I thought you were asking a completely different question.
No. I mean 2. Sorry. Oh, maybe no, I am baked. Maybe that's...
Go.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Am I wrong?
Why not?
Did he not say 3 before? I don't know.
No,
go ahead
baked.
And get the Dreamcast version. That's fine.
No, I want to know why I... What is your stance for the N64 port? That's what I want to know.
I don't think... Okay. Let me try and, like...
I want you to wow me. I want
Here's
you to wow me.
Here's the macro view on this, okay? The point of my choice is not the superiority of the Nintendo 64, but the superiority of Resident Evil 2 as a game. I don't care what system you play it on. It's a really good, really solid video game.
Is it better than the first one?
Yeah, and here's why. And some people will disagree. Some people disagree with me on this, but it's okay.
Yeah.
A lot of people dislike current Resident Evil games or now dislike the series, whereas they used to like it before, because they've definitely, without a doubt, gotten away from trying to be scary or creepy, and it's much more action-oriented.
Oh, absolutely.
Resident Evil 4 was kind of like the blatant, we're definitely going action-oriented. Mm-hmm. Far out, totally. 5 and 6 were like, they were not even trying to be any, creepy.
We're not even trying anymore. We're just throwing money at somebody and we're slapping Resident Evil on the front of it.
Yeah, there's multiplayer death matches for the gun.
No, there's not.
Yeah, there is.
No, there's not.
Yeah, multiplayer deathmatch.
Yeah,
in 5 and 6.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, 5 and 6, there's deathmatch.
That's absolutely...
Why, man?
Yeah.
How?
Right?
Am I the only one who liked 5?
Apparently.
No, I'm not... Okay, I'm not saying 5 is... Okay, here's my point. I'm almost there, guys. I promise I'm almost at the end of my point. Okay.
Wait.
But...
I just realized 5 is the only one I played to completion.
That's kind of cool.
Bailey, please continue.
Thank you, Hunter. Okay, but what people actually don't tend to give enough credit for, or maybe realize, is that the orientation towards action actually began with Resident Evil 2. When you consider how the first 15 minutes of gameplay are spent in the original versus in 2, right away you're dealing with attacks and getting different guns and talking non-player characters, and you get to, it's tough to express in words, but when you actually play the games, 2 is just so good, guys. Like, it's a great game. It's made really tightly, really well. It's like the first one was kind of like this bold, like, whoa, survival horror. What's that? 2 is like, okay, let's flex our muscles, crack our knuckles, and show the world we know what we're doing. We can really make
this.
Wait.
You still haven't explained why it's better than Redneck Rampage. I'm giving this week to Hunter. This is my gift to him.
This is, wait, really?
I could argue Pepsi Invaders.
No, you couldn't.
I could.
No, you couldn't.
Really, could you?
All right, do you want me to argue against Redneck Rampage?
Oh, please, gosh. I want to hear.
40 seconds.
All right, Redneck Rampage is nothing but a bid by Zatrix Entertainment, whoever the hell they were, to cash in on Duke Nukem by providing a game based on the using the same engine, using the same type of humor, same gameplay, but they do it in a much weaker way. On top of that, it's 1997. They're still using the build engine. Quake 2's been released, full 3D. None of this, you know, build engine fake 3D. So the game looks like crap and plays like crap.
That wasn't defending Pepsi Invaders.
I don't
at all. Like, you barely... Oh, what? Yeah, you do.
Listen, Pepsi Invaders. 125 copies. It's a collectible.
Okay. Jason, can I make your argument for you? Like, can I jump into your shoes for a second?
Yeah, you can.
Oh, no. Don't do that.
Do it.
Here's... Okay. If I were Jason, here's what I would open with. It is Space Invaders. An undeniable classic that everyone likes. Simple,
but with
fun.
Betterness, because it has
no,
Pepsi
see,
and
no,
Coke.
No, you don't. No, you can't. No, no. Jason, no.
Pepsi.
You're losing them now.
No, you're not. You don't understand
back.
Our listeners.
Wheel it back in. Wheel
our
it back
listeners
in.
Love my
they
fascination
like, they like Sonic.
With
they like
corporate,
Sonic. They...
corporate America.
I don't know if that's true.
No, they do.
I mean, you go from blasting poll. Spaceships to blasting letters of the word Pepsi. Like,
yeah,
how is that
yeah,
better?
Maybe,
dumb.
Maybe the
it doesn't invoke
Pepsians...
the imagination when I'm playing no. the game.
Thank
the
you, Hunter. Very the, well phrased. That
the
was
Pepsians
good.
Yeah. of the planet Pepsi have come down.
The Pepsians.
In their letter-shaped
not even
things.
Who calls them Pepsians?
They're
nobody.
Pepsians. The Pepsians
who called
call
it
themselves
the planet
Pepsians.
Pepsi.
Planet Pepsi. It's on the can.
No.
That's the
okay,
planet
who
Pepsi.
Who designed the cans?
The Pepsi.
Who would... Okay, if you
the,
were going
that
to
was
go
their first
and
wave
invade
of attack.
Somebody, if you were going to go and invade somebody, would you slap the name of who you are all along your, the side of whatever you're bringing?
I would.
No. Will you put it down?
I would release
put it down.
I would release a product based on my name to the market in the country, in the plant I'm going to invade. They'd become accustomed... And then when I came in my spacecraft that bared my own name, they'd be like, yeah, I like Pepsi. I'm cool with that.
Shoot me out of the sky.
And they wouldn't resist. Unless you're Coke and you know, Coke wins.
Oh, it's eat lead shit monkey. That's what it is. I said it wrong the first time.
I wasn't going to say anything, but I thought, I was like, what is a lead monkey?
I don't. There's also a brawl that you put on that's got guns on it.
Sweet.
It's like a machine gun.
Resident Evil doesn't have that.
A brushing gun.
Here's what Resident Evil for the N64 has that no other iteration of this game can even say that they do. No loading screens.
Amen, brother.
No loading screens. And no as a gamer... of any kind, not just a retro gamer, not a modern gamer, not just an indie gamer. I cannot stand loading screens. It drives me insane.
I forgot
it's like,
about that.
Because the first thing I think of is, what are they doing screen. Back there? What are they doing?
I forgot about loading
Are they
screens.
Taking photos?
Yeah.
Are they taking notes about me and what I'm doing, what I'm wearing, what I look like? Like, yeah, I don't want that.
And that's the thing, Jason, like in the 64-bit, like 32-bit era, when you play a PS1 game and some of the loading screens take like 40 seconds. I mean, it was like, what, really?
Yeah,
really
it was
now?
Brutal.
They did the
really?
Same on my PS4.
What, really?
Which is why Nintendo stuck with the carts for the N64, because they knew, or at least they had hoped, that would win them out.
That's, yeah, it's a nice thing.
Yeah, but like any console, you don't... As a developer, you really don't understand how it works until, what, 2-3 years into its life cycle if you've been working on it for 8.
Yeah, definitely.
So, like, I'm still waiting for some developer to really harness the power of the Xbox 360.
The Virtual Boy. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
No, oh, everyone loves the Virtual Boy.
Nobody does, man.
I do.
Nobody loves the Virtual Boy. Have you ever played a Virtual Boy, Jason?
I played a Virtual Boy ROM.
Okay, that,
remember,
count.
That does not Wait, count.
I
that
remember
does not
I've
count.
I played one in a Blockbuster back in the day.
I would probably like it if I was playing it on a ROM.
Hunter,
Bailey.
You said Hunter. That Leonard, the protagonist of Redneck Rampage, is out to rescue a pig?
A prize pig named Bessie.
Bessie is not a pig name. Bessie is a cow's name.
Well, you know, if Rose was named anything different, would it still not smell as sweet?
It would smell the same, especially if it was a pig.
Right.
Calling it a cow's name doesn't change the fact that it's a pig. But what? Bessie is definitely a cow's name.
You know, I went to school with a girl named Bessie. That's not cool.
Was she?
She was huge.
Really?
She was huge.
Be honest with us here.
She was huge. Yeah.
Bessie is a cow's name.
We only dated for like a month. So.
Nice.
That's kidding. I'm kidding. She was too cool for me.
That's out of your league. She was, after all, the prize pig in Redneck Rampage.
And Hicksville, Arkansas. Yeah.
I'm kind of mean sometimes.
Hicksville, which I actually had to look
I
up.
I apologize,
Hicksville,
Bessie.
Hicksville,
sure,
Arkansas is
a
real
great
place.
Sense of humor.
Yeah.
Nice. Really?
Sure it is.
I'm sure you have a face for radio.
I don't even really have a face for real life. I mean, it's very expressive.
I don't understand.
That's my biggest critique of Redneck Rampage, is I can't get over the fact that Bessie is not a pig's name at all.
Yeah, it's not. It's a cow name.
It's a cow's name. It's a cow name.
You fight a giant UFO at the end of the game.
He's Canadian. What game
don't
you
aliens
fight a giant
as well?
UFO in the game?
The game is Duke Nukem.
So
it's your
Hunter and Jason brought the same game tonight. In my game, you don't fight aliens, you fight zombies.
Which, if you want to talk about something that's
overdone?
More overdone trope
not,
than anything.
Not
it's
at the time.
Not at the time.
Yeah, that's where
not
looking
at
back
the time.
At it.
Yes, it was,
not
man. This
at,
was
no.
the third port of Resident Evil 2. Like, come on.
That's different from being inundated with the same subject
Dude,
matter across.
That's
the...
it's overdone. Trust me.
By now it is, yeah. But Resident Evil
no,
2
back
is
then
back.
It was.
So
yeah, no one. No one wants to play Resident Evil 2.
If you can make it through the internet, I will be. I will let you hit it with me.
I'm going to try. Ready? 1, 2, 3.
Ow!
Gotcha! Booyah! I expect you to bring that pin back to Indie PopCon. I want it back.
Oh, no. It's going in the trash.
Oh! Ouch. So, oh, good thing I didn't give you one of my good pins.
Trash.
Speaking of trash, final arguments! From our two lovable losers. Jason, why should anyone vote for a game that promotes Pepsi and is actually just a ROM hack?
You should play and vote for Pepsi Invaders, a.k.a. Coke Wins, because if you vote soda, you vote freedom.
I don't know what that means.
He just has a fetish for American...
America.
He doesn't even say that right.
No, America. America.
America.
More er and less er.
America.
America.
America. Canadian.
Wow.
Canadia. Mooses.
Go ahead.
Oh, good. Yeah, Hunter. So you definitely should vote for retro. Should definitely vote retro every time. You vote retro every time.
So not for Jason.
Exactly. Actually, his is more retro than ours.
Yeah.
That's
true. That's true.
Bam.
Should vote for Redneck Rampage.
No.
Because even though the game came out late in the build life cycle, it was fully utilized in a very brand new first-person gaming experience. And you got to drink alcohol. And you could get drunk.
You should vote for Resident Evil 2. Because the game combines taut, suspenseful storytelling with excellent, well-designed gameplay, levels, and characters with the revolutionary progress in character selection and how the plot lines deviated, came back, and introduced new characters to the Resident Evil canon that would become much beloved for several games to come. Resident Evil 2, a wonderful classic. And that's our showdown. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. Reminders, I want you to email us some discussion questions to podcast@onemorecastle.com. I want to remind you that the three of us are going to be at Indie PopCon. It's a convention in Indianapolis, Indiana. It happens May 30th through June 1st. We're totally going to be there, so you can meet us and hang out with us. I'm just saying.
Totally.
I think it'd be pretty cool to hang out with us. It'll be my first time seeing Jason in the flesh.
It's true.
Mine too.
In the flesh.
You better bring that with you.
Touch
it. Bring that with you.
I'm going to break it.
I want to give shout outs to those who not only watched the live. Thanks to everyone who watched the live stream, but a special thanks to those who commented, including Dustin Faber, Captain Knucklehead, Lisa Robinson, Valerie Minnick, Sam Manaberg, Mega Silver X, Jason Lamb. Good job,
yeah.
Jason Lamb.
Thanks, man.
Yeah. And Jed Pressgrove. I think there was someone else who said Google Plus is weird. I wanted to mention him, but now I can't find that comment. That was funny. Google Hangouts is weird. Yeah. It is weird. Whoever said that. It was Steven, I think.
Whoever you are, Twitter. It is weird.
I don't know who it was. But yeah, thanks for watching. Thanks for commenting. We broadcast the live stream every Thursday evening, 7:30 p.m. Central Time, in case you want to watch it next week. If you want to follow us individually, you can follow me on Twitter, Nintendo_Legend. My blog is NintendoLegend.com, where I'm slowly but surely writing a quality review for every North American NES game. Hunter, any shout-outs, reminders, promos, drink recommendations?
You can follow me on Twitter at Eric Hunter. My indie game review blog is I Am Eric M. My drink of choice is the BLT, which is bullet bourbon, tonic, and lemon.
Nice. Jason, any self-plugs, any shout-outs, reminders? What color is your underwear?
You can follow me on Twitter at Jason Lamb. I'd like to give a shout-out to PepsiCo, and I'm wearing blue boxers.
He ain't got no panties.
I don't. I actually don't have any pants on.
I think we have an episode title.
Yeah. When Jason ain't got no pants on.
I ain't got no pants on.
I ain't got no pants on.
Yeah, and that's our show. That's the one more podcast.
Yeah. No pants lamb.
77, guys. 77.
Gorg, let me at least close this out. Listeners, just remember, you are a bad enough dude to rescue the president. See you next week!